number one is, why do we have Naftar? The reason for it. And that we have two different explanations of. There's a classical explanation, I believe, from Davud Raham, who says this came about at a certain era when, because of government persecution, they were not allowed to have Kriyas HaTorah. And for whatever reason, apparently, they only stopped Kriyas HaTorah. But they read from the Nevi'im, and that they did not disturb the government so much, for whatever reason. That's what the Avud Raham says took place at some point in history. And thus, that perhaps would explain to us a number of things. Number one, in general, we know that the Haftarah is thematically tied, usually, to the Parshas HaShavuot. So if it was, in fact, a commemoration of the Parshas HaShavuot, it would make sense that you would take something from the Nevi'im that had association with what the Parsha is. Secondly, generally speaking, not always, we have some exceptions, but generally speaking, we try to have about 21 psukim in the Haftar. We don't always succeed, but there is why? Keneged design krum. So that would also suggest this type of approach of the Avud Raham, that the Haftar took the place of the Kriyas HaTorah. That's one particular approach that we have. I believe that Rav Shaber Soloveitchik, Zatzal, had a different perspective. I think it's a little bit rooted in the fact that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, at Mincha and Shabbos, there was a minhag that they read Ksuv. You know, as we know, the Ksuv also has Trump. And some of it is even different than the trop that we have in the other Sfar.
Tillum is also
in the Tillum, in Mishle, in Iyo, you have a different trop. Which it's interesting. Ashkenazim, by and large, don't know, because we don't read from those Sfarim at all. The Svardim sometimes, in fact, do read from them, and the Svardim have a Messiah of what the trump of those swarm of those three swarm.
When did we have Torah?
I think on Tisha B'Av, I think they have after from Eov, if I recall. I believe. But the Svardim have a Messiah and have what they do the trump of those three swarm of Eov, Mishle, Tillum. The Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there was once upon a time a minhag to read Ksuvim at Mincha and Shabbos, which suggests the following, which suggests that why did they have a minhag to read Ksuvim? Because they had already read at Shachris from the Torah and the Nevi'im, and thus they wanted to read from all three sections of the Torah Shabbat and Shabbos. So there was a minhag to read Ksuvim at Shabbos and Mincha.
What started the laning Shabbos and Mincha? Was that Moshe Rabbeinu?
No, that was created, reading the Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos, it said it's because of Yeshiva Kronos, the people that don't have so much time to learn during the week, there should be another Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. That was the reason for it. Quintessentially, what is the Kriyas HaTorah supposed to be? The Kriyas HaTorah is the limit of the Mikra, of Torah Shabbat. We know classically, as long as the Jewish people were in Bavel, so we had the Metargim. Right? They read a Pasuk, or two, or three, whatever, and then the Metargim would get up. Now the Targum of Unkelus is basically a literal translation of the Chumash, other than in a few places. But to the largest extent, it's a word-by-word translation of the Chumash. So, not everyone was necessarily proficient in the Hebrew language. So, consequently, they had Targum. So it's quite clear that the purpose of the Kriyas HaTorah was a learning experience, to learn the halachos of the Torah. to learn what the Tayag mitzvahs are. So with Mincha, they instituted another Torah reading, another Torah learning, because of people that were busy during the week and don't have so much time to learn, that they should have another opportunity for learning on Shabbos. But it's suggested by the fact that they read the Ksuvim at Mincha is their intention was to read for Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim on Shabbos. Now that could be, according to that, there's a different explanation, and the Torah did not come about by default, by absence of the Gras Torah, but rather it was a proactive creation, because they wanted whoever the Mesaknim or whatever era it came about, that's, I think, historically clouded. We don't know when exactly it came about, but it came about because they wanted people to read the Revi'im and the Ksuvim too. Not just the Torah, not just the Chumash, but we wanted to read from not only Torah, but the Revi'im and Ksuvim as well. So that's a second explanation of how that Torah came into being. Oh, as we know, in our time, we no longer have the minhag of reading Ksuvim at Mincha. Somewhere along the way, it lapsed. But nevertheless, the notion of the Torah, in fact, may be tied to that particular notion. That's number one. Number two is what's particularly peculiar about the Torah. What's particularly peculiar about the Torah is why, by and large, Klal Yisrael doesn't read it from a klaf. If you're supposed to read it b'tzibur, I would imagine that you're supposed to read it from a klaf. So why is it that it's not normally read from a klaf? That is really stems all the way back to the Gemara itself. The Gemara talks about, now, they didn't have printing presses, so inevitably it was going to be made on some type of klaf. So the Gemara talks about something which is called Sifra d'Aftarta, the Book of Aftars. And that type of sefer still exists. You can still find it in some places. It's a klaf. It doesn't have the entire Nevi'im. All it has in it is all the Aftars. One column, column one is the after from Bereishis, column two from Noach, the next from Lech Lecha, etc. That's all. That's the entire book. It's a book of Aftars. But it does not have the entire text of the Revi'im. So the Gemara relates that they allowed Eis Lasis L'Hashem Eferos Arosecha. They instituted this change to allow just this truncated version of a book of Aftaris rather than an entire Nevi'im because of Anius, because of poverty. And therefore the language that Rashi uses in describing this in the Gemara on Yizokin is exactly parallel to the Rambam's Lashon when the Rambam talks in Hilchos Mamrim of Erosho. There's a notion of Erosho, meaning to say under unusual circumstances Chazal see fit to render a decision which is really not 100% consistent with the books. Right? We have famous decisions in that regard. We have, for example, the writing of the Torah Shebaal Peh. From the strict letter of the Halacha, we're not supposed to write the Torah Shebaal Peh. But they came to a particular moment in time and they realized that for the preservation of Torah, we have to do something. It's not going to last otherwise. It will disappear. We had a more stricter Rosh was we had in the when Bar Kochba brought the animal with the mum, with the blemish, to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted them to bring it as a korban, and this was a gift from the Emperor of Rome to be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Zecharia ben Avkoilis refused to allow it to be used. He said, Balimum Yikruvu. So the Mefarshim explained that the issue was everyone knew that Balei Mumim can't be brought as a korban. That wasn't the issue. The problem was that those in the Mikdash understood the political consequences and the tense atmosphere that existed of turning down the korban of the Roman Emperor. And therefore for Hayroa Shah, as a temporary measure for the sake of Klal Yisrael, we should bring this on the Mizbeach. That the one that has to enact the Harasha is only the greatest Talmud Chacham of the age. And Rav Zechariah ben Avkoilis refused to look in the mirror and see himself as the greatest Talmud Chacham of his age. And consequently, the Gemara says, it's critical, the Gemara says, anvasanuso, the humility, but more than humility, the fact he did not recognize exactly whom he was. He didn't recognize his own stature. And the Gemara is critical of him for that. If you look at the Hakdama, the preface to the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he talks about the responsibility of those that are capable of Hayra, of undertaking the Paschal Shailas for the Dor. He spells out everything that you have to do, that you're supposed to be to Paschal Shailas, and obviously you should be from the, you know, the foremost people of your time. The only one thing that he doesn't say in his humility, that is the realization that he was that person. But he understood that full well, and he took the responsibility for the Dor. And Rav Moshe was the quintessential Onuf. But he understood his stature. So he was able then to be the foremost expositor of the halacha of his era. So the Gemara is critical of Rav Zechariah ben Avkoilis that he couldn't do it. Now the Loshon of the Rashi, and Rashi talks about what's necessary in terms of a sefer for the Haftaris, is exactly parallel to the Loshon the Rambam writes about Hayra Asha. So Rashi is indicative that this was Hayra Asha. It's a temporary measure instituted because of the poverty of the Jewish people of that era, that they couldn't afford to write Nevi'im, which suggests itself that at such time and place when the crisis of poverty will pass, that one should go out of his way and make sure to write Nevi'im. And who, of course, who revived Nevi'im, and that's why it became very strongly among the Misnagdim and the Litvisha community, was it stemmed from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon sized up many things in his era, and many things which had mitzvahs, which had fallen by the wayside. In the Golas, the Gaon decided that it was really inappropriate, and they should be observed. And one of the things that the Gaon did was to insist that the Nevi'im be written on a klaf, and that they read the Haftaris from them. So this really stems back to the Vilna Gaon. The Chofetz Chaim, in almost a laconic comment in his Mishneh Berurah, writes, he says, if people have money to spend on beautifying the shul, and we know there were many beautiful shuls in Europe, he says, then this is a din. This even takes precedence to spending money on beautifying the shul, is to buy a set of Nevi'im for the shul. So this is one of the things that took place in history, that the Nevi'im are more, they are longer. They're much more, they're 160% the size of a Sefer Torah. There are 250 columns in a Sefer Torah, and in the Nevi'im that we read in the Beis HaKnesses, there are 400 columns. So it would cost more even than a Sefer Torah to be able to write. So this also, this fell over the generations, this was pushed aside. And it's only in those communities which were under the sway of the Vilna Gaon, ultimately, where this was reintroduced. And that's what, which shuls in the United States had it? Shuls that came from Litvisha Rabbanim. Those are the ones that you find all in the Sifrei HaNevi'im. And ones that come from Chassidim. This was not something which took place in the Chassidish community, so it remained the way it was. This is a change instituted by the Vilna Gaon. That we should, in fact, be Mekayim fully the din of the Gemara. That this is also, I think, a little bit indicative that this is a real din kriya. It's not just a stopgap measure to make up for the inability to read the Torah. If it was, why did we have to have such an official happening or something? Obviously, we held that at some point in time we would be able to reinstitute the kriya satara. So we had to make such a formal happening with a full kriya from a sefer. So it a little bit suggests itself that the approach of Soloveitchik Zatzal took, that the Nevi'im was instituted because they wanted to read from Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim every Shabbos. And Ksuvim they read at Mincha, as I mentioned before. So this also seems to fit more with that particular approach than with the approach that the Haftarah was a stopgap measure until they were able to revive the Kriyas HaTorah. So these are the two points that I wanted to talk about presently. We're going to start Tillum in a few minutes.